Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as Jaybon. With me, not as always, because he missed an episode, but he's still
I'm back. I'm not sick. I'm back.
In the saddle again.
Boy,
Mike.
Yeah, they forgot.
They probably didn't forget. They wouldn't have forgotten because last week's special guest name was also Mike. So, you know, there was this we had a continuance.
Right.
So,
I think that was him.
Yep. So, it is Sunday, Easter Sunday, March 27th.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow, and I'm kind of annoyed because I was going to go start doing lawn stuff.
It snowed this morning, so I'll take that over.
Yeah, snow. I would take rain over snow for sure. Because like it's been getting warmer out, which is super nice. So I'm like really happy about that. Because the cold sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to be getting out of the snow phase and the winter phase. Thankfully, we skated pretty good this winter. And knocking on wood. Yeah, we basically like last year we had over 100 inches of snow. The year before that, or the average is like 29 inches.
Mm.
And this year, I think so far we've had like 25 or 26 inches of snow. So we've had less than the average, but like last year we had, you know, three times the average. So
right.
So it's nice that it's actually, you know, kind of over, and it's just kind of done, and we're moving on.
Yeah. Get that warm weather.
Yeah, I know, right? Out. Get the warm weather, start, you know, getting things looking good and moving up in the world. And, yeah, and then video games. And PAX.
More.
PAX is a month away.
Oh, yeah, it is close, huh?
Yep.
And then it's what? Like
28 days. Or something.
A few months later, and it's PAX West now.
Yeah, they call it PAX West now instead of Prime. Well, because it was always an outlier because it was PAX South, PAX East.
East.
But
yeah.
Like, PAX Australia is just called PAX Australia.
Right.
Yeah, they finally decided to change Prime to just call it PAX West, which it's fine. But I mean, it's like it's one of those things. Like it's always going to be Prime to me.
Right, I think
it's
Prime
like,
sounds better.
I don't call, like, you know, Disney World. I don't call it Hollywood Studios. It's always going to be MGM. You know?
MGM, yeah.
It's just like you can't tell me, oh, it's Hollywood Studios. No, it's MGM. All right, listen, it's MGM. Yeah. Okay,
get out of my face.
Take that shit somewhere else. And yeah, so we haven't talked. What's up? What's going on? What's new in the zone, in the hood, in
work,
the world.
Work. That night, what was it? We talked about the Vita already. I picked that up, but I picked up a new 3DS.
Oh, you finally did it?
Yep.
I made the
jump.
What'd you
and
get?
Got a, I got the Hyrule. They just call it the Hyrule Edition for some reason, but the...
Comes with Hyrule Warriors, I'm assuming?
It does not, but it's just the cool gold, you know, dull gold looking... Hyrule themed.
So it's a Zelda themed DS that doesn't, or 3DS that doesn't come with a Zelda game.
It's just the console or
how
the
much,
handheld
was
itself.
Was it more expensive than like a regular one?
No, same price, $199.
Okay. Because I was about to be like, what the like, who the hell is paying for that? This isn't
right.
Like this isn't like the era of translucent colored Nintendo 64s.
Oh God. Bring a wait. I think they have a 2DS, a translucent.
Yeah,
2DS,
they have translucent
actually.
2DSs. They have they have Pokemon ones. They have like a red, a blue, and I think the, in Japan they got a green one because they have Pokemon Green.
Green, yeah, that was their blue.
Exactly.
Yeah, I picked that up. Picked up yellow.
So how are you liking? How are you liking it? Did you trade in your old one?
No, I traded that one in a little while back, but then I was like, well, because everyone's been talking about Pokemon. Like, I think last time we recorded, you talked about it, and then a buddy of mine, he was playing one on his 2DS. So I asked him, like, should I just, you know, make the dive in and get him? He's like, well, do you want the bells and whistles, or you just want to play Pokemon? I was like, well, I just want to play Pokemon. And so I was like, well, screw it, we're going to whatever store establishment, and I'm going to get one. So yeah.
I keep thinking about it too, like getting a 2DS, right? Because it's like, you know, it'll play the 3DS, some 3DS games, just not with 3D, obviously. But they're like, you know, refurbed. You can get them for like $70.
Yeah, super cheap.
But I'm just like, but at the same time, I'm like, if I'm going to spend $70, I might as well just spend the, like, you know, the other 100 and get the one that does all the stuff.
The whole shebang, yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not gonna trade it in. So what's and I've done this thing before where I bought like the lesser version of a thing that I wanted, and then was like, why did I do this? Perfect example, my tablet, the Dell tablet that I bought. Like, it was great at the time, but it's like now I'm kind of like regret. I don't regret it because it was cool to, like, you know, screw around with it and use it for like screen stuff, but like now it's one of those things where I'm like, man, I wished I had just got a Surface like I wanted.
Yeah.
Because like, the older Surfaces, because it would have been like the first gen, still like run pretty okay, and like my Dell tablet does not. And like it keeps trying to force me to Windows 10, and I reverted back from Windows 10 because it ran so crappy when it did upgrade. Because it's not like I can upgrade the RAM and stuff. Like, it's just not so powerful. It's a fucking tablet.
It's not optimized, yeah.
Yeah. So I've got to find a way to, like, not have it upgrade or something. Or they're, like, I don't know what the deal is. But I'll just never connect it to the internet again.
Forces you to upgrade it.
Yeah, at some point, you'll never be able to avoid upgrading to Windows 10. Like, Microsoft is just forcing it on you at this point. So, like, you could, like, back in the day, you could just be like, postpone, and like at one point it's just like, when would you like to schedule it, and you can't cancel it. So I'm just wondering if I can just schedule it for like 10 years from now. Like, I would like to schedule my upgrade for fucking like January 1st 2050.
Yeah. Would you like to upgrade to Windows 50?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But, yeah, because I want a 3DS, but at the same time, like, I feel like I want it so that I can just play, like, a handful of games right when they come out, and then probably not ever again.
Right, it'll just, like, I went not so heavy, much collect dust, but just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, I just want to have it. Because, like, I was, you know, obviously I had jumped back into Diamond, and I'm still at Pokemon League. I can get, like, through the first two people, and then I get destroyed.
Ouch.
Which is fine, because, like, I gain experience every time I fight the first two people, so, like, I've just been using that, like, experience share thing to boost my Pokemon.
Boost,
Because I'm still using the same six that I have from when I first re-jumped back into this file, which is from 2013.
Dang.
So, because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to change these six Pokemon. I don't know why I have these six, but that's what I've got. And that's what I'm sticking with. And they do okay. I mean, my Staraptor is like a boss. And then it's like Staraptor and Gyarados are like my two pros on my team.
The go-tos.
Pretty much.
It's like once they're out, then it's like, well, all right.
Yeah, just go.
Now,
shut the DS off and start over again.
Right, restart.
No point. And then so I haven't been doing that. I've been pretty much just playing The Division. I've been playing a few games here and there because I've been making some YouTube videos, youtube.com/c/theDGcast. But pretty much just The Division, like going hard into it. And I've already hit the Destiny plateau.
I've been playing this way too much that I should probably find something else, or
no, I have officially reached the point where I make such marginal advances with gear that it's pretty much a fucking standstill. And much like in Destiny, where the best way to get better gear is by doing, say, you know, a hard mode raid, which the only way to do that is, you know, an hour of your time minimum plus five of your friends.
Right.
The only way to really get anything done in the division at this point, at least from what I hear from people, is to go into the Dark Zone. Mm-hmm. Right? The Dark Zone's where all the drops are. That's where you get a lot of Phoenix coins for killing the named enemies and stuff. Except my problem is I can't go in alone. I have had the worst experience. And for like a good like 2 hours, I was in the DZ and I was just killing NPCs. I wasn't even picking up any gear. I wasn't even picking it up. I was like, I don't even want it. I just want to rank up so that I can buy Dark Zone gear from the vendors. Hit rank 30. And I got D-ranked out of 18 to 17 a bunch of times. I got D-ranked at like 28 once because I would go in and people would just kill me. I got killed by two groups of four. And both of, again, this is something I do. I send them some dumb PSN. Like, I sent one kid a message and was just like, yo, why you hating, bruh? That was the whole, like, I did what James did back in the day when he just kept messaging the kid, why you hating, bruh? He never responded, so that was a bummer. I was hoping he would bite. And but I Googled the names, right? Because I'm thinking one of these assholes is probably streaming it on Twitch. And both of the groups of four were streaming it on Twitch. And they were just going through the DZ killing everybody they came across. Like, their whole game was going in, like, because one of the kids' stream titles was, like, Division Bullies with the homies. And I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Because when so when you die in the Dark Zone, I lose 1,200 XP. You only get 175 for killing enemies, so that is like the equivalent of like 6 or 7 enemies worth of experience you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And like one time, they killed me, and you know how you like spawn in a safe house or you spawn at the checkpoint?
Yeah.
So I spawn in a safe house. I'm like, all right, whatevs. And I walk out of the safe house, and I go into my map to set a checkpoint so I can leave.
Mm-hmm.
They killed me before I even got out of my map.
Ugh.
They were waiting for me to leave the safe house.
Wow.
Yeah, because they'd killed me right by it. So my guess is they were hedging bets that I was going to respawn at the safe house. And they killed me. And I was like, ugh. So then I finally was able to get out and just run for it. And like they got me again. And then finally I just spawned at the checkpoint and then left from there. But it's like that fucking sucks. That is the worst. I can't play your game, Ubisoft, where I'm allegedly going to get the best gear. Mind you, I have never seen a single high-end item drop for me in the DZ. Yeah. Let alone the only piece of gear I can recall being amazing that I've got from the drop zone was a holster that I don't even use anymore.
Dang.
You know how I get my gear and my money and stuff now?
Make it or
I spam the first mission on hard, the Madison Square Garden one,
right?
Because you get 10,000 credits, you get 10,000 bucks, you get 3 purples from the final boss and a blue as like a mission reward.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually get 2 or 3 Phoenix credits from the boss. It varies depending, but it's usually 2 or 3. And it takes, I can do it in 10 minutes flat by myself.
Dang.
So I literally just run that mission on repeat. Restart the mission. And so every 10 minutes I get 10,000 credits. I get 2 Phoenix credits or 3 Phoenix credits if I luck out, and then 3 purples and 1 blue guaranteed. Anything else that drops from other characters that I kill along the way is just gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually what happens is I run it like 2 or 3 times. Then I go through my inventory, look at what I got. If I get any weapon mods, I'll like change those out if they happen to be better. And if I get any gear, I'll change those out. And everything else I go and sell. Sometimes I'll take it all and just deconstruct parts.
I usually deconstruct. Bought anything.
I don't see my problems.
Oh, I've got way too many crafting blueprints.
Yeah, except none of them I can. None of the things I can hear that's better than what I have. Everything I have, like a few purple mods,
a few
and I've
things.
Got one yellow crafting mod that I bought because I farmed enough Phoenix credits to buy a like magazine blueprint, high end magazine blueprint from that guy on the second floor.
Right.
I also use a lot of that money to recalibrate my gear. So, you know, the station next to that special, I go there and I recalibrate the gear. So I actually lucked out on a few pieces of gear that already had mod slots. I recalibrated and got two mod slots.
Dang.
So I could put two mods on them. And I have a, I actually got, doing the Madison Square Garden mission, I actually got a blue mask that had two mod slots in it and a and then something else that had two mod slots in it as like drops.
Dang.
But now what I've been paying attention to is when you actually look at the stats and you scroll down with the right stick, it says like the big thing, you know, next to the thing when it's in your inventory list says like level 30, but some things are actually level 31. Hmm. And they have the same stats as a high-end piece, but they're still purple.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I've been paying attention to that, but literally that's what I've been. That's how I've been, like, ranking up. The problem is it's such a slow progression because I don't like to sacrifice when I upgrade my stats. So if I get like a piece of gear that'll bump my DPS up really high, but it crushes my health, I won't take it. I won't use it.
Right.
So right now I'm sitting at like my two primaries, which is an M1 marksman rifle and then an AUG, is like 102 and like 110 DPS, and my health is like 65,000.
Okay, I was gonna say.
What?
I was gonna say before you finished it, I thought you meant just 65, like.
Oh yeah, 65. No, 65K, 65K, and then like my like skill thing is like maybe 9,000, but like that's the one thing I don't care about. But I'm starting to realize that as I've been leveling up, that's like the electronics thing that it I can literally throw my turret and
like
then
every
when it's,
second
yeah and when it's done I can throw it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can throw it two times in a row before it has to recharge. And I don't know if that's a perk from one of my pieces of gear or because the like the amount I have of it is high enough that it charges.
I think it's high enough is what it is.
But like that's so I've reached the Destiny plateau of basically like where you're like at like 309 and you're trying to get like to 310 or 315 light level by like grinding like nightfalls and you know. But the only difference is at least in Destiny I don't get fucking punished by assholes in the dark zone. You know what I mean?
Right, which is like, ridiculous. They get rewarded, you get punished.
Yeah, because like, I can spend hours in the DZ killing NPCs to rank up, and then like a bunch of dudes can come in and like totally ruin my forward progress. Hell, even if I go in and kill like five enemies and then somebody takes me out, like I lose almost the equivalent amount of XP. Like every single time I've died, I've lost over 1,000 XP, which is basically like five kills worth. Five enemy kills worth. And, you know, you lose money. So I've probably lost a couple thousand bucks in DZ cash the last few times I've gone into the DZ. Because even when you die from NPCs, you still lose EXP and stuff. And I don't mind losing experience from,
being
killed by NPCs, because that's something I got into that battle. But like, I don't like that when an NP, like when an actual in-game person decides they're just going to kill me.
Right.
I don't like that I lose the same amount of experience. I feel like I should lose like nothing because I didn't provoke them to shoot at me.
No. Right.
You know, and I'm not carrying anything. I specifically don't pick up gear because I don't want to get killed for it. Which also, in and of itself, proves that the DZ sucks because I can't get any fucking gear. I can't extract any gear. You know, that's where all the best gear is. Yeah, except if I can't extract it, what fucking good does it matter?
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest, that has been my biggest issue, and I will fucking stand, I will fucking die on this hill. I don't care what anyone says. You cannot play in the Dark Zone by yourself and have a really good success rate. It's just not possible. I've lucked out and had a few times where, like, a random person happened to have a mic on, and, like, because of the proximity chat, I've been like, yo, listen, I just want to extract some gear. I'm just trying to fucking, like, get a little bit more power on my character. Like, you know, do you want to roll? And then the two of us will join into a party. And then, which to Ubisoft's credit, the matchmaking to be able to join a person instantaneously in game is awesome. That's super good. I'm really happy that they've made a something in their game that isn't fucking broken. Because it's really nice to be able to invite a person that you bump into in game and immediately have them join your party or you join their party. Like, that's great.
Agreed.
Because you don't even have to, like, reload your game. You don't You know, it's
you
just
have to,
like,
back
just,
out. And,
yeah, you're just, you know, in, and then, like, that's fantastic. I'm a big fan of that. I am not a big fan of the fact that my forward progress can be completely screwed over because somebody wants to kill me for, like, a backpack that I might have.
Or even if you don't have anything, most
of the times I've been killed, I don't actually have any gear.
Which is really annoying. If you don't have anything, you shouldn't use anything.
Like, one time I was playing by myself, and which sounds dirty, but no, get your head out of the gutter. And so I've got, like, a backpack full of, like, blues and greens, because when I know that there's nobody really in the general vicinity, I'll pick up everything and try and extract it all just so that I can either deconstruct it for parts or sell it to get some money.
Exactly.
Because my game now at this point has been just buying the expensive gear that might level me up a little bit. Most of my gear that I have on my character right now, I bought. Or I got from farming the Madison Square Garden mission. But, like, the highest my DPS has ever been is 110, and the highest my health was like 75. But, like, I keep fluctuating between, like, my DPS being like 100 and my health being like 65 or 70. Like, I've been stuck at this level, and it's just like minimal changes where I'll maybe boost my electronic skill, and, like, my health will go down a little bit and my DPS will go up a little bit, and I'm just fucking dancing around the same set of numbers. But, like, it feels like I'm accomplishing something because I'm switching out my gear for slightly different stat rolls. Ooh. And that's, that's, to me, is the Destiny plateau. You know, you've reached the point where you are at a level of, you know, progress and power in the game where you are, like, you've plateaued, and now it's going to be a fucking stupid, repetitive grind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way to really get, like, really good gear is to go into the DZ with a group of other equally powerful people, kill really high-ranking enemies, pray you get decent drops, and then hopefully you can extract it. Now, we took a little trip around the initial story that I was going at. So I was in the DZ, minding my own fucking business, killing some dudes. And, like, right now with my – I have this AUG that I have. At, like, 100,000 DPS, it really does melt 30, level 30 characters. So, like, I don't have a problem killing NPCs on my own. As long as they're level 30. When you start getting into 31s, 32s, then I've got trouble. But, so whatever. So I'm at this DZ. I'm at an extraction zone, because I just kind of hang out at extraction zones because the NPCs spawn there often enough.
Mm-hmm.
Kill a bunch of enemies. I got this backpack full of blues and greens, so I'm like, fuck it, let's get this shit out of here. Call off the extraction. Within 10 seconds, like, 7 people show up at the DZ.
Dang.
Some of them have backpacks. Some of them don't. I can't tell who's in a group or not because they all were separated and they were all surrounding the DZ, like, the extraction area. But, like, none of them were stacked up on each other. So I'm like, I don't know who's in groups or not. And I can't tell why they're all hanging out, because some of them didn't have gear and some of them did. So I'm like, this is just not worth it. So I immediately opened up my inventory and I deconstructed all of the gear that I had picked up.
Dang.
So I had 7 items and I deconstructed all of them and then just fucking ran for it. I was like, I'm not even sticking around.
Ouch. Yeah,
and
don't blame
I
you.
was like, and of course, and I'm sitting there like, this is exactly my problem with this game. The game allows people to kill me and take my stuff, and I'm going to lose money, Dark Zone keys, and way too much experience for trying to play your fucking game.
Yep.
And I'm sorry that this episode I might swear way more than normal, but that's how much this game annoys me. It is absurd.
Well, it's that aspect.
It is
pretty good.
It is fucking stupid that I was so concerned that I was going to get killed that I deconstructed all the gear I had just spent all that time killing those enemies for and fucking left, because it wasn't worth the risk of getting killed and losing all the gear and losing all the money and someone else taking it. And I didn't know what everyone was doing because nobody was responding to me on the mic. Because I always get on the mic and I walk over to people. I'm like, hey, listen, are you guys cool? Because if you're going to just kill me now, like, just get it over with. Because I'd rather be able to move on if that's what you're going to do, you know? One time I was playing with Icy Dude. We were playing, was it yesterday or was it the day before? I'm not sure. And he was like, I want to jump into the DZ because he wants to get the DZ trophies because he's trying to platinum it. And I'm pretty close to it. I've got like 85% of the trophies. But
jeez.
So I'm like, all right, fine. The problem is Icy doesn't have a mic. His is broken. He's going to get one when he picks up Uncharted 4. He's going to get the Uncharted 4 like golds.
And you gonna get those?
Yeah, I know. But he's not going to get them until Uncharted 4 is out, so.
Whatever.
Yeah, so whatever. So like we're in, so he can hear me, and so we've got gear, and I'm like, listen, I got to extract this stuff. I had some purples or whatever, and I was like, I just want to get it out of here so that, you know, even if I have like two items, I'm like, fuck it, let's extract because I don't even want to have them on my back.
So we go
to the extraction zone, the one that's like on top of a parking garage. We were at this particular one a lot in the beta, and
I remember that one.
So I get up there, I zip line up, and I see three enemies, like three rogues. And I'm like, dude, there's three rogues up here. Like, I don't know if you want to do this, but he had mentioned earlier that he was trying to get the trophy for killing rogues. You get to kill like 20, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we'll just try it. So I run up, I melt the first one. And then Icy Dude comes in and he's like working on the second one. And then I help him. We melt the second one. And then we get the third and we kill them both. And I had called my extraction before they started attacking us, but they were already rogues. So they'd already attacked somebody else. So I don't know if they had killed someone else and taken their gear and then just didn't. Yeah, exactly. And just weren't calling an extraction. So whatever. So we kill them and we take their shit. And then, because they were already rogue. I don't have a problem killing rogues.
No.
I have a problem when people go rogue.
Yeah.
Especially when it's towards me and I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, so they went, you know, we kill them. We call in an extraction. Two other dudes show up and I was like, hey, listen to me. There's three dudes. Because I said, I was like, if you can hear me, just do like jumping jacks or something so that like I know you can hear me. And so, like, he, like, did jumping jacks. I was like, all right, cool. Listen, there's three dudes that are traveling in a pack. I was like, I really don't remember their name. I'm like, but they're going to go rogue. I was like, because they were rogue when we got here and we fucking took them out. So they're probably coming back and they're going to be pissed. So they were like, whatever, you know, kind of just sort of acknowledged it. And so, the five of us extracted, or the four of us, rather, you know, Icy and I extracted our gear, and those two kids extracted their gear, and we covered them when the NPC showed up. And right as the extraction was about to end, those three fucking kids came back and immediately started firing at us. So I was like, fuck this shit, I'm out. Threw a turret, we smoked them again. So, and of course, at that point, they didn't have any gear, but it was just, you know, they came after us again, and so we smoked them, whatever. And in the midst of this happening, the other two kids that were with us we all got caught in the crossfire, and they went rogue against us.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, yo, it's cool. We're fine. We get it. Don't worry about it. Because the kid immediately started doing, you know, the surrender one where, like, you hold your gun up or whatever?
Yeah.
And, like, I walked up to him and was like, it's cool. It's cool. And he fucking must have shut his PS4 off because he literally just disappeared and it was, like, disconnected from the server. And I was like, I'm like, proving my point. He was so nervous that he went rogue accidentally that he shut his console off. And it's like, I don't know if he loses XP or anything because he like bounced out of the game. But he would have lost any gear that he had for sure, but he might not have lost experience and money. And I think it was kind of telling because it's too coincidental that he went rogue because of Crossfire.
Yeah.
We were like, it's cool, don't worry about it. Like, you were helping us take out the other rogues. We obviously got in front of you, or you got, you know, you strafed around us, whatever. Like, I was trying to tell him, like, it's fine. I'm on the mic, like, it's fine. And he literally just zipped out of the game, just disappeared right in front of me. And you can't fast travel in the Dark Zone. So I only imagine that he shut his console off because he was like, oh, crap.
Right. Shit.
Because he probably saw how fast we killed them the first time, and he's thinking, I'm totally screwed. But it's like, you weren't trying to go rogue. It was an accident, which I have no problem with. I've had more than one occasion where I've been at a DZ and somebody has like accidentally shot at us, and they're like, I'm sorry, I wasn't. And it's like, it's fine, trust me, I get it, it happens, trust me, it's fine. Yeah. Because like one time I grouped up with this random kid, and then Icy Dude grouped up with me, and then I think he bounced at one point, and then my friend Heather joined us. And so we, like, he wanted to go into this like subway or whatever, so I was like, cool, and we went into the subway, and there was a dead NPC on the ground, and then four real people.
Oh shoot.
So I saw the first NPC and thought they were NPCs. I pop out of the corner and start gunning.
Oh,
and so of course I go rogue. Four of them just wiped us out. And I'm like running up to him like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I thought you were enemies. And I mean, they were way more powerful. But I wasn't trying to kill them. I just totally didn't realize their health thing with their name didn't pop up. Like, I went around the corner and just do this. So that, I felt really bad because the four of us killed because of that. So everybody lost gear. And then we ended up running into that same group later at a DZ, and like, we were all cool and extracted stuff. But it's just, I really, and it's like, you know, sometimes I have okay times in the DZ, and sometimes, most of the time, it's miserable. But my problem is that I really can't play alone. I know that if I go in alone, I'm just going to get killed, because anyone who outnumbers me is going to take, they have the advantage. Well, I can't shoot at two of them, but two of them can shoot at me. And no matter what, two people are always probably going to be more powerful than one.
Right.
You know, and when four people see you, like, you're easy pickings.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I really do hate that they, like, changed the, they patched the game, so, like, you don't lose as much when you get killed when you're rogue. And I'm like, fuck you, you should be...
Oh, bullshit, like, you should be punished for going rogue.
My thing is this is my opinion on fixing this, is... And I'll end it here, because we should move on to the next topic. I don't want to... like rant about this, because I'm sure I'll keep playing this game and I'll have more to say about it later. But the way that I think they should handle this is, there's two ways. One, like Grand Theft Auto, put in a fucking passive mode.
Yeah, right.
Right. Put in a passive mode. You can change the drop rates on high end items to be less than in passive mode. Totally okay with that. I do not mind if you tell me that I have a less of a chance. As long as I know that I'm not going to get killed by random people who just kind of show up. Because it's like, some people show up and they start killing NPCs with you, and then they turn on you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, thanks. So you let me help you wipe out all these enemies so that they gave you drops, and then you killed me.
Yeah. Like, thanks.
So that's one way. They could do passive mode and change the drop rate percentage.
That are two separate.
And I have no problem with that. I don't think they need to do that. I think they just have to either have a passive mode or change the drop rate. And the other option is, if you go rogue and you kill someone, either I don't lose experience because of it, or they lose experience for killing me. We both have to lose experience.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because here's the thing, right? They're going to get any gear and money that I had, because I'm going to drop money, a Dark Zone key if I have any, and I'm going to drop any gear that I have. So my thing is that if they lose experience for killing me, but they get a guaranteed amount of money from me and whatever gear I have with a potential for an additional random drop, I would be okay with that. Because at least they might consider not going rogue because they don't want to derank themselves in the process. Because my problem with this is if I go into the DZ and my sole thing is to be, you know, like those kids are being fucking bullies. And I'm not even trying to be like the, oh, poor me, victim. Like, they were calling themselves bullies. It was on his fucking stream title. The second kid that was doing it didn't have that as a stream title, but that's what they were doing because I watched his stream for a few minutes. And they both sounded like younger kids who thought they were fucking hilarious. And
thought they were
I
cool.
wanted to punch them in their faces. So...
don't blame you.
I don't like that when they go rogue and kill me, they get a bonus of experience for killing me while rogue, they get my gear, and they get money and Dark Zone keys. There's no negative to going rogue.
Nope, not at all.
So because they were upset that, oh, if they get killed while they're rogue, they lose a ton of money and a ton of experience. Okay, well, but you took a ton of money and a ton of experience from the people you went rogue killing. So why did that have to change? All you did was facilitate more people going rogue because you made it easier for them to do it. You made the risk for them less while making the risk for me stay the fucking same. I still lose my gear, I still lose my experience, and I still lose money. So please tell me what's in it for me to be a person who plays this game primarily alone, because not everyone is on the same time zone. Not everyone wants to play, and certainly not everyone wants to go grind in the fucking DZ. So please tell me what's my incentive to go into the DZ as a single player when everything is fucking stacked against me? Especially given the fact that, I mean, I've as far as total game time, I've clocked in over 3 days. Now, granted, that's not that much. 3 days time is not that much. But that is actually a lot of time for a single player. Because I've played this game pretty much primarily on my own. Very little of it. Hell, I don't even think the two of us have actually played together. Maybe once with, like, Jimmy. No. That was Hug.
No, you jumped in, I think, with one of my buddies.
Yeah.
I think.
And I know that people have been like, don't play The Division alone. And it's like, but not everybody has friends, okay? Like,
friends that play all the time.
Like, fucking need I remind you, sports friends, asterisk, friends not included. Fucking Destiny, I don't get to raid because I don't have a raid group. And I don't want to LFG it. I know people can be like, oh, just go to LFG.com. I do not want to play with strangers. That is not as fun. Part of the fun of playing video games with your friends is that you are playing games with your friends. You can talk about life. You can talk about politics. You can talk about chicks or dudes.
Right. Anything.
Or sports or movies or cars or guns. You know, you can talk about whatever you want. But like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't, you know, it's different when you play with strangers because the, you know, that kind of camaraderie isn't necessarily there.
There's no dynamic there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to play the game with my friends. But again, not all my friends want to play. Not all my friends, you know, have trouble sleeping, so they're not up at 3 in the morning East Coast time playing The Division, you know? Some of them actually go to sleep. I've been playing it on remote play a good amount at night because I'm not sleeping, so I'll just jump in remote play and just roam. I'll roam normal zone on, like, easy levels because the aiming really is tough on the Vita. I've never been a fan.
It's a little...
Like, if you don't mind low sensitivity, but, like, since I always play on high sensitivity, it's so hard.
It's pretty terrible, yeah.
Because
there's that slight delay.
Yeah, it's just not, like, the Vita's sticks aren't as responsive.
sportive, yeah.
But that's it. I'm sorry to like rant on the division. And it's a good game with some fundamental issues that totally ruin the experience. Because again, I've completed the whole game. I've done all the encounters, all the side missions. I have found all the drones. I have found all the survival guides, all the phones, all the echoes. I have completed literally everything in the front end of the game. The only thing left, the true end game of the Division, is whatever content they add in. Hopefully that's free. Anything that you have to pay for, I'm probably not getting. Or the DZ. But, like, you cannot play the DZ by yourself. It's just not, like, it's not worth it. I'm tired of getting D-ranked.
Yeah, it's annoying.
So, like, for me, I have paid money for your game, and you're telling me that, hey, you can put all this time into this game, but you might get D-ranked because people like to be dicks.
Yeah, you're going to lose your stuff, and then you're going
to
lose your
like, people might steal the stuff you worked to carefully kill NPCs for and not die on your own.
Mm-hmm.
People might just kill you and take that.
Yeah.
You know?
Just 'cause.
But hey, you have the best chance of getting gear out there. Yeah, but I have the worst chance of extracting it. It's like, again, I would rather run the Madison Square Garden mission on hard in laps every 10 minutes because I'm guaranteed 10,000 bucks. I'm guaranteed 3 purples and a blue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way more than I'm guaranteed in the Dark Zone.
In the Dark Zone,
considering
yeah.
it takes a minute and a half for the extraction to show up, and then an extra 5 seconds to actually attach the fucking thing to the bag. So I got a minute and 35 seconds minimum of like crunch time trying to get any pieces of gear out, a max of 9 at a time. Whereas in 10 minutes, I can guarantee 3 purples, a blue, 10,000 bucks, and 2 Phoenix credits. Like,
right.
I don't need like, to, I don't even, like, well, that's, not, it's a no-brainer for me.
No, yeah, and that's the thing I like, is you don't have to actually go into the Dark Zone.
Yeah.
It's an option rather than...
The only problem is that rerunning the same mission over and over again in hopes that I get slightly better gear sucks. Yes, I agree. The DZ is more dynamic. Even with the NPCs and spawning and the named enemies and things like that, and like Dark Zone chests and the, you know, that you need the keys for and stuff, like you're guaranteed better gear from those. But I never get a chance at extracting it. And all the times that people are like, oh, it's better gear, I can count on my hand the few items I remember getting in the DZ being like, holy crap. Clothing items? Yeah, I've gotten a bunch. I've gotten a bunch of clothing items. But like, of all the purples I've extracted, most of them I end up fucking scrapping because I never get anything better than what I already have.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's been like 40 minutes of me ranting about the Division, but every time I stream the game, it's like I feel like I'm a broken record because we end up getting on the topic of the DZ because I'm like, you know what, let me just go in for a little bit and see what happens. Because I want to go in. I want to go kill these NPCs and maybe get a decent piece of gear. It's just I don't like that my progress is being negatively affected when someone else decides to like be a dick, you know?
Yeah,
in Destiny if you did a raid and you were like, oh sweet, I got a 320 helmet, and then like someone was just like, no you didn't, and took it from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just grinded out here for an hour. But it's like, not only that, but they took away your experience so that you couldn't access, like, you know, Nightfalls anymore because you weren't a level, you know, 40 or whatever. I really hate that I lose so much experience when I get killed by another person in the game. I don't mind if I get killed by an NPC and lose experience. I mind when it's someone who decides that they're just going to kill me for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I never pick, like, I don't pick up gear. And so then what's the point? What's the point if I'm not picking up gear? Because I feel like I'm less of a target if I don't have gear, you know, and then I can, and usually what I'll do is I'll run in for like 10 or 15 minutes, kill some NPCs, pick up some money, and then leave. I don't like to stick around.
No, yeah, exactly.
It's too, like, for me, it's just too risky. Even when I have two people, yeah. Like, even when Icy Dude and I were in, and Icy Dude, I think, has more power than me in his weapons and gear. And, like, we were getting crushed by some of these NPCs, and I'm like, dude, this is pointless. I want to get out. Like, I have a better chance. I have a better chance, like, rerunning that one mission. And I reran a couple of the other missions on hard to see if it was faster and there was better gear drops. But the Madison Square Garden one is, like, my best bang for the buck. In 10 minutes flat, I get way more than doing the other missions and way more than I get in 10 minutes in the DZ.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to jump in, but yeah, I have the same exact same concerns you do. Everything you just said, exact same concerns. Obviously not the same experiences because I jumped in there like once and that was it. But I, you know, it's...
I told myself
you really
want to
go in there,
in.
But it's just...
Yeah, I told myself I wasn't going to go in anymore. And then I went in and immediately was like, why the fuck did I tell... Why did I convince myself to go back in?
It's like a terrible relationship that you want to make work, but you know it won't
it's
work.
It's okay, baby. She's going to love me eventually.
Yeah, it's like... I don't know. Yep. It's like trying to give someone a second chance. And you're like, no, this time's going to be good.
It's
going to
be
not.
Good. I can feel
not.
It. Can feel
yeah,
it.
And it's just not. Yeah, it's just not.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. All right, I'm going to stop talking about the division. And so,
all right.
The other topic was the place. So a couple weeks ago, a couple episodes ago, we talked about the new PS4, right? The next generation, slightly more powerful PS4. Well, as it turns out, what we have been getting rumors of is the PS4.5. Excuse me. PS4.5. Also being referred to as PS4K.
4K,
and it's a more powerful PlayStation 4. And so everyone's been like, oh my god, like that's, you know, we're getting a 4K PS4, and it's, you know, it's clearly because of PlayStation VR, because, you know, now we have VR is out, and it's, you know, it's $399 plus a camera, which is $50. So when I was saying the PSVR was $450, I was technically right.
Correct.
But everyone's like, oh, but you know, I already have the camera. And I'm like, but you had to buy the camera. And the camera was about $50. So I'm technically right. I don't care what you all say. The box sold by Sony for the VR kit is $399. And the camera is $40, $49, $50, whatever. And you need both of those things to do VR.
Yep.
That's $450. I'm not a mathematician, but that is $450. Give or take.
And wouldn't it be more because isn't there a bundle with PlayStation Move?
You need Move controllers for some games. Yes, some games you can use the DualShock 4.
Okay.
Some games are Move controllers only. So yes, you would need an additional amount of money for the two Move controllers.
Right. So
however, if you want to talk bare bones, yes, $450. You get the headset and all that fun, the, you know, little graphics box thing, and then the camera.
Nonsense.
You have to buy separate. Yes. Mm. But yes, people already have the camera. And I said before, I think it's underhanded that they didn't say, like, by the way, you need the camera. I'm not putting it in this package because, like, percentage-wise, you know, 50% of people who own PS4s already have it. And if they had said that, I would
have
been like, okay, that's fine.
The camera.
You know? I don't, you know, at least you're telling me why you're not packaging it. Because you don't want to sell someone two of them. What are you going to do with two of them?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And my assumption is also that if you have, like, a two-player VR game and you need two headsets, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the PS4 is capable of running two VR headsets off the same console for, like, a two-player experience.
I would think so.
Yeah,
my assumption is... that's where Move comes in.
Nah, I doubt it.
Move, first move.
Nah, I just I
oh,
my
yeah,
assumption
that,
is
that
it probably
make
just
sense. Yeah, that
yeah.
Make sense.
My assumption is it probably just can't because it is, you know, you're asking it to do a lot. So
no.
Anyways, so this PlayStation 4.5 4K, Sony's aren't. So this is an article from Eurogamer.net. Originally, it was Digital Foundry that I think kind of did all this sleuthing, and the same thing from the IGN. Link that you had given me. So the short story is, yes, it is a PS4K. It's a more powerful PlayStation 4. It has a more powerful GPU. But
GPU.
It is not powerful enough to run 4K. Native 4K video gaming the way that they run 1080p titles right now. What it sounds like is that it is 4K for, like, Netflix, Hulu, PlayStation View, probably. So it sounds like what it is that it is a regular PlayStation 4 with a slightly more powerful GPU for 4K video. Most likely because of things like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and, you know, whatever. So it seems like maybe this 4K stuff might transfer into gaming, but from what I've been reading from these articles, it seems more like it is for video watching, not video gaming.
So video and images, essentially.
Yeah, so it seems like it's an upgraded console to handle, you know, the 4K video that I'm sure is going to be coming to Netflix in the near future, right? And for people who have 4K TVs who might want to take advantage of that,
yeah.
You know, because they might use their PS4 as their home device. And given that PlayStation View is, you know, Sony's kind of, you know, television thing, right? Which I've actually been kind of looking into because it's actually really not bad for what you're getting. The problem for me is that I think I would be better off. Well, yeah, it's like $30 for like 50 channels. The problem for me, I feel like Hulu would just be better. You know, pay like the $8 a month and get Hulu. But at the same time, then I'm thinking if I had PlayStation View and I had those channels, I could just watch the shows. The problem is I'd be watching. I'd have to watch them when they are aired. Hulu would allow me to go back and watch them whenever I feel like. And that's
my only fight with Hulu is that depending on the show, if it's newer and you get to get the first episode right away,
you can
stay caught up. But if you miss the first few episodes, you're like catching episode 5 and getting in the middle of a plot. So you're like, okay, cool. Now I don't even know what I'm watching.
Unless you subscribe.
Right. No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I would subscribe. Right. I think I would subscribe to Hulu before I would subscribe to PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
One, it's way cheaper. And two, again, the fact that I can watch things on demand would be better. And like with Hulu, you can add Showtime. What I think is interesting is that Hulu has, which is totally off topic of the 4K PS4, but Hulu has a limited commercial model, pricing model, and then a no commercial price model where you pay like a couple bucks more and you get no commercials, except there's a bunch of TV shows that specifically say, like, due to streaming rights, these ones have to have commercials, and it's like Grey's Anatomy and, like, you know, a bunch of like really popular TV shows. And I'm like, then why the fuck would anyone pay more if they have to watch commercials on those shows? I'd be like, screw it. How like crammed is your life that you're willing to pay like an extra few bucks a month to not have to watch like a 30-second commercial?
Yeah, right?
Like, proof in the pudding for me is, like, Hulu always now is like, if you'd like to watch an interactive commercial for 30 seconds, please click here. Or watch a regular 2-minute one. And I'm like, I'll watch the regular 2-minute one. You want to know why? Because I tab out and do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tab out and scroll through Twitter for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I have my freaking, you know, handhelds for or whatever.
Yeah.
Pop those babies on. And
like, I don't care about commercials. It's the spice of life right there.
Right.
How would I know about the slap chop? How would I learn about these things? So getting back on track.
4K.
4K PS. Yeah, so while a ton of people were speculating that it's like a super more powerful PS4 and all this stuff, as far as we know, it isn't going to be on the video gaming side of the processing.
Which is fair, because Sony did state, we're not necessarily jumping right into 4K right away, so don't necessarily assume our console is going to be able to run games at 4K visuals.
Right.
So it's not like they're lying. It's not they're lying to us and saying, hey, it can run 4K games.
Right, and the other thing, too, that's that like I think people have to realize is that at some point, the... the technology and the equipment might end up being the same price as what they're using now. So they might just be like, hey, you know, we're like a couple years into this life cycle and this equipment is cheaper or maybe the same price. And this means if we start implementing it now, we'll be on the 4K curve, you know, as 4K TVs become more expensive and more widespread in households. Because at this point, like, I'm not buying a 4K TV anytime soon. One, I'm not buying another TV until the TV I currently have dies. But even then, because TVs are so inexpensive, like, my TV was, like, under $300 and it's 1080p and it looks great. Like, I don't care.
No, yeah.
You know, I don't have anything. I don't have anything that's being delivered to me in 4K, so it doesn't. Like, it's one of those things, like, I don't need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, if all of a sudden I had a Netflix subscription and a device that was feeding me Netflix in 4K, maybe then I'd be like, ooh, I should probably upgrade. Except I've had 1080p for the longest time, and it looks great. Like, dude, I love watching movies on my TV. It looks so good. I'm just like, this is awesome. Like, I don't care. You know, and then, like, I watch so much TV on my laptop anyways, like, through Hulu. Like, it doesn't, it's just whatever. I'm not, like, but I'm not the resolution junkie. I'm not the person who cares, you know? Like, I wonder how many people are playing PS4s on 4K TVs, and they're like, oh, it's so much better than 1080p. Like,
right.
What, because your TV's, like, upscaling 1080p to 4K? Like, sure, whatever.
Yeah. So anytime someone says anything about 4K, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care.
Yeah, for me, it's not like 1080p.
Blu-ray, right. Oh, yeah. When they first came out, were like $30.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, would I buy the Blu-ray over the DVD? Sure, because there's usually more stuff on the Blu-ray than the DVD. But it, you know, my viewing experience probably isn't changing that much, like, for me, you know. So it's just one of those things. Like, for me, it doesn't matter. Am I gonna buy this new PlayStation? Probably not. You know, would I like?
Yeah.
Would I like to get a newer PS4 because maybe it'll run cooler, and maybe make
maybe.
Less noise? Maybe,
sure.
Probably
yeah.
Not unless my PS4 crapped out. Because, like, when it runs the Division, man, the fan is cranking. Like, the fan cranks like when you know, when you used to play Rocket League and the fan would just go apeshit.
Yeah.
That's what my PS4 does when I play the Division. But the second I close the Division, the fan immediately kicks right back down. So clearly it's the game that's just making the fan bump up. Because I keep my PS4 very dust-free, and I regularly wipe the area down for dust and stuff. So, like, I don't think that I have a surplus of dust, especially because it only happens on, like, Rocket League, which Unreal Engine, it's unoptimized, and it's always done that. And, you know, the Division, like, when I play Destiny, when I play other games, like, it doesn't really happen. So, anyways, this, the Eurogamer article continues on and basically talks about, like, the different, it talks in better detail about the different, gate speeds and technical stuff about this about the GPU itself, which is one of those things where it's like, it's over my head, but I kind of understand.
Right. Is this still a custom one, or is it going to be like an actual from so and so?
I'm sure it's called. I guess it's AMD's GPU or something. But it's like one of those things where it would. Like, it says, so wait, I'm skimming it, but this is their thing. From our perspective, we see three viable routes forward for a potential PlayStation mid-generation refresh. Option one is a new, more powerful PlayStation. And so it says, current gen processors are an assemblage of off-the-shelf AMD components with some level of customization by Sony. If they move to this new type of technology, there'd be a 2x increase in density, which means they can make a chip the same size as the PS4s, but it would be twice as powerful, theoretically. But then something, something, timelines. So something with AMD's development of this chip or something. So it would be a big jump in the GPU, but the CPU would basically stay the same. So whatever.
Remain the same.
So the graphics would be better, but the computing power would probably be the same.
I guess the real question is everyone, or maybe everyone, I don't know, or is it going to be basically a PS4 Slim?
Who the hell knows?
What? That's the next question.
Yeah, so it's because, like, here's the rub. Everything we're hearing suggests that Sony is expecting this console to be paired with a UHD display. However, realistically, achieving even a 2x increase in GPU power compared to current PS4 would be a remarkable achievement. To fit it into a console-sized box, even this may be too optimistic, which means the PS4 would have to be bigger. And then there's something about AMD's technology. They've given away some of the info on its new graphics architecture. But the question is whether it is so advanced that compatibility with existing PS4 titles could be an issue, which means that the new PS4 wouldn't play old PS4 games, which is like, no, I wouldn't be interested in that. I wouldn't, because that's like the 3DS versus the new 3DS.
New 3DS, yeah.
So skipping this, I'm skipping on to the next option that they predict. Option 2, PlayStation 4 Evolved. And, the danger in moving across to new Radeon architecture is that incompatibilities, short of an increase in clock speeds, there's not a great deal that can be done with the existing CPU, but they could bump up the GPU, yes. 60% increase, something, something. They could overclock it, blah, 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 or change it out completely. What we might expect. We'd see a new PlayStation hosting the same titles but with visual improvements. Conceivably, older games may run more smoothly by default or could be patched to access the newer hardware. Resolution could be pushed beyond 1080p and could look good on a 4K screen, but native UHD visuals for AAA titles are off the table. Wouldn't be expensive as option one, which was the whole new thing. State-of-the-art 4K media support, but harder to sell to all but the most hardcore gamers. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, scaling up and enhancing current PS4 doesn't sound particularly exciting. We have to wonder what the point of a PS4K would be with little chance of 4K gaming. And then option 3, PlayStation Plus. A potential PlayStation 4K could very well be a PS4 Slim, with the existing APU shrunk to a new thing with the enhanced minor boosts. Since the processor would need to be redesigned anyway, Sony could modernize some of the fixtures in the thing for 4K displays, so wider gamut, HDMI 2.0, blah, 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 blah. What we might expect from this option. Full compatibility with 4K screens, including next-gen media, complete no-worries compatibility with existing PS4 library, HDR support for 4K gaming displays, potentially lower the cost as the chips become cheaper, unlikely to alienate existing user base. Bottom line on option 3 is that the PS4K could simply be a smaller, leaner version of the existing hardware with revised 4K media and potentially HDR support. And then there's this whole section about what's the point of a mid-generation refresh. And, yeah, so this is a pretty chunky article, and I will link it. It's from Eurogamer.net. It's a Digital Foundry thing. It was posted – when was this posted? 324 by Richard Ledbetter. For me, if it was PS4 Slim, that's cool. If it was slightly more powerful, I'd be like, cool, you know? In the sense that it doesn't fuck anything up in the console generation, right? Like when the expansion pack came out for N64, right? That was something they obviously knew was happening because they put the expansion port in the Nintendo 64, right? Like they knew they built that N64 knowing that there would be an expansion to it, right? They didn't give it to you right when it came out because at that point in time, none of the games probably used it, so it didn't matter. But then, obviously, Perfect Dark used the expansion pack. Star Wars Rogue Squadron did. And I think it
Majora's Mask.
Yeah, but I think the expansion pack came.
Oh,
with,
it actually enhanced it.
Well, but it enhanced every game. But I'm saying that the expansion pack was packaged with a game. It was only like, I want to say it wasn't terribly expensive when it first came. I'm pretty sure it was packaged with oh, sorry. So the expansion pack was a 4 megabyte RAM in expansion. Mm. It bumped the RAM in the N64 from 4 to 8. Now, just to remind everybody, the PS4 has 8 gigabytes, 8,000 times more memory, mm-hmm. which is kind of hilarious. The game developers can take advantage of the increased memory in several ways. The expansion pack was required in order to run 2 cartridge games, Donkey Kong 64 and The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Resident Evil 2 uses the expansion pack. Perfect Dark has limited gameplay options when the expansion pack is not present. StarCraft 64, blah, 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 Castlevania. I could have sworn it was bundled, though. Expansion pack was available separately as well as bundled with Donkey Kong 64, yeah. So there's a handful of games that it was required for, but I could have sworn it was packaged with Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
Maybe?
Oh, it says increases resolution to 640 by 480 pixels, but it wasn't required. World is not enough. Provides enhanced graphics and visual effects. Totally off topic, but you got to go with it when you go with it. So my whole thing is that they knew that. Basically, the short answer is that Nintendo knew that was something they were planning when they built the N64. So it wasn't a shock when they said, like, "Hey, we're making some games that you just need to buy this expansion pack to play them." Because the reality was everyone was going to do it for Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not a big deal.
Right.
When you tell me I spent $400 on this PS4 and now you're going to start releasing games that I can't play unless I buy an entirely new console because I can't upgrade my internal guts of my PS4, then we have a problem. Because now you're telling me that you've replaced the whole thing. It's the new 3DS, you know?
Yep.
Because there's games that you can't play on an old 3DS, you have to have a new 3DS. And I think that is a complete disservice to the gamers, you know? Mm. Because you're telling me, "Oh, it's just a new version of the PS4, except I can't play the PS4 game. I can't play PS4 games on the old one now." So now the old one is partially obsolete.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Nope.
So, and not everybody is going to just jump at a new console, even if it launches at $299. I'm not going to go buy it. I'm going to be like, "What the fuck?"
No.
So, my issue with that is that I hope that it's just a redesign and it's a slimmer version and maybe it has 4K support for videos and stuff. And that, yeah, if it was like having an expansion pack and it made some games maybe run better, I would be like, whatever, that's fine. But if you told me that I wouldn't be able to play future games because I didn't have that new model, then I'll be upset. The idea that Phil Spencer wants the Xbox One to be upgradable, I don't even mind that. Because I'd be like, whatever, if every few years I can buy a new chip thing and, like, swap it in, like, that's cool. Fine. I don't care.
You know,
it's cheaper than buying a whole new box. That's a way cheaper way to get me into playing more video games. And I don't know why people who also play PC games would be so adverse to it, because it's just like upgrading your video card. You know, you keep your computer, but you upgrade your video card, or you upgrade your hard drive, or you add more RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that people would rather upgrade their console than have to replace it outright.
Have to replace it, yeah.
So, with that, that's kind of where I'm going to end. I don't really have any... I mean, I could keep kind of rambling, but I mean, that's where I feel like my ability to kind of discuss this ends. I don't care about four. I don't care about 4K television. It's not an issue.
Neither do I. Yeah. No.
So like if this is really just a new model for like 4K streaming because people who have, you know, 4K TVs or whatever, like it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah, don't care.
So like I'm fine with that. If it's a slimmer model, that's cool. I'm not going to buy it, but it's cool that they're re-releasing a new version of the console, you know? Cuz then it just makes the Xbox One look even older as a competitor because it's bigger, it has the external power supply and all that stuff, like, you know.
Right.
I'm okay with that too. And again, but you know, if it introduces something that makes it so I won't be able to play future games, then it's a new console.
I'm not interested.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just annoying.
So I don't know. Thoughts? Play us out.
You know what? I'm gonna agree on one thing. Let us be able to upgrade, like you had said. Give us the option to upgrade it if we want to, not just outright buy a whole new console just so we can play the games we want.
Yeah, or if like they, I mean, it would be too crazy for them to do it, but they could totally find, like, if that were the case, they could totally do a trade-in program.
Right, like even
you
that
know, that would they would have to orchestrate that with major retailers.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is if the VR box is effectively a graphics accelerator for the PS4, mm-hmm. why don't you just sell that, you know?
Right,
like Alienware has graphics accelerators for their laptops. The Razer Blade Stealth has the graphics core thing that you plug in and it gives it better graphics. So wouldn't it be a better move to just build like a 4K box that you just plug into your existing PS4 to get more power out of it? And that's your expansion pack, you know? Like it's
right.
literally
yeah.
a small
yeah.
expansion thing that you attach in between that and your TV, and that bumps up the graphics, right? It houses its own set of, you know, it houses its own graphics, you know, new GPU or something. And, you know,
right.
maybe it still relies on the initial CPU of the PS4, but graphically it can give things a bump. To me, that would be totally acceptable. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I wouldn't probably buy it because I still don't care about the 4K bit.
No,
but
yeah.
I don't want to have to buy a new console you know, when we're not even really neck deep into the PS4's life cycle. And what's weird to me is that only recently they unlocked the last core of the PS4's processor anyways. And there was an article about it. It was like 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
Like they finally unlocked the last core in the PSU's processing power. So like we're just getting to like the crux of when people might even take advantage of all that the system has to offer anyways.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
there's tons of games that push the PS4 to its limits because they're not properly optimized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're going to see with games like Uncharted 4 and, you know, whatever other AAA studios put out there, we're going to start to see in the next year or two games that push the boundaries of what the consoles are capable of. I think Quantum Break is going to do the same thing for Xbox.
People keep saying how good the game looks.
I'm thinking that just like in every other console generation before us, we are going to hit the nice stride in the next year or two of games that look absolutely fantastic because they are now optimizing and taking advantage of what we have available. I don't think we need a new console on either side of the fence.
Not yet at all.
It's just the growing pains of really figuring out how to fully optimized. Like when you think about how good The Last of Us looked at the end of the life cycle of the PS3 when they literally got like the full 512 megs of RAM cranking for that game. So with that, I think we're done here.
I think we are good.
Again, as always, we do appreciate you guys, you know, coming by, listening, downloading the podcast on your iTunes devices, listening to it on YouTube, watching the YouTube videos that I've been putting up, the video game ones. You can subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/c/theDGCast. I do Twitch streams, twitch.tv/DGCastTV. You can follow us on Twitter at the DGCast. I'll be at PAX next month. That's coming up. I'm going to be moderating a panel. So, and if you're at PAX anyways, tweet me, tell me, let's high five.
Chris, high fives all around.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's going to be it. You know, if you guys are as frustrated with the division, or if you guys really enjoy the division, like, tell me. I want to have a discussion about this, because I feel like it's a lot of me telling people about my bad experiences, and I've not heard a lot of people talking about good experiences. And I'm hoping that I can hear about people who've managed to really enjoy the DZ, even if you have like a full team of friends and you guys can always go in. Like, that's, I want to hear about that. So,
right.
Let me know. Tell me what's going on. So with that, I think it is time for us to end this podcast. It has been episode 63, Disconnected Gamers. And as always, we will catch you
on the flip.